It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring, boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
First pitch, center field. Frelick was deep, coming on. He slides, it gets by. Daniel Cruz can fly. He storms to second. Churio gathers, edge of the track. Windmill is on. Relay to the plate. Daniel Cruz, save!
All right, he's back. John Sadak is back. The guy who had so many home run calls of the day for Baseball Isn't Boring last year. Obviously, he was also appeared on Baseball Isn't Boring. He's back with a home run call of Ellie De La Cruz. Ellie De La Cruz. Another historic, momentous day for Ellie De La Cruz. We love some good Ellie De La Cruz talk. It's not season till we start talking about De La Cruz. All right, De La Cruz became the first player in StatCast era to hit a 450-plus home run and inside the park home run in the exact same game. Yep. Man, he's one of the good things about baseball, isn't he? It's awesome. So does John Sadak. Excellent call right there. All right, other things that happened on the first day of this week, Monday. That would be Monday. Science would suggest it's Monday. All right, the Padres came back from 8 runs down against the Cubs. There you go. Padres, I'm still buying. I'm still buying what they're selling. All right, speaking of Padres, former Padre Juan Soto hit his first home run as a member of the Yankees in a 7-0 win. The Yankees are now 9-2, and the team that they beat, Miami, 1-10. Well, speaking of the haves and have-nots, the Guardians beat the White Sox. The White Sox, they're 1-9. The Guardians, they're 8-2. Another team is rolling. The Pirates, they're not stopping. They're inspired by producer Evan's power rankings. They're looking to move up. Pirates kept going. 9-2, or I'm sorry, they improved to 9-2 with a win over the Detroit Tigers. All right, well, that's what happened. All the good stuff It's going to keep on rolling throughout the week, but we're going to focus on a day game. So by the time you listen to this, maybe you have already soaked all in this action that we're talking about, whatever. But still, it's a worthwhile exercise. The 2004 Red Sox, it is the anniversary, the 20-year anniversary. 2004 Red Sox, of course, a team that ended the 86-year drought for the Red Sox organization in terms of championships. They're being honored on Tuesday. The Fenway Park home opener. Obviously, first and foremost, being honored, Tim Wakefield, the late Tim Wakefield, first opening day without him, passed away at the end of last year, last season. So sad. Larry Lucchino, longtime executive, longtime Red Sox, Padre, Oriole executive. Larry Lucchino also passed away. He'll be honored as well. But the 2004 Red Sox, they're in town, or a good chunk of them, not all of them, a good chunk of them. They're in town, and I caught up with three key members of that team. General manager, former general manager, Theo Epstein. Manny Ramirez, you know, he was the middle of the order, bat, you know, remember Manny, of course. And the guy who just retired, Terry Francona, former manager Terry Francona. All right, first we're going to catch up with Theo, let you hear from Theo. Now, this was an event which was hosted by Theo and his brother Paul, their foundation to be named later. So you're going to hear a lot of voices, but still the main voice you're going to hear, or they're going to be paying attention to, is the participants of the interview. And in this case, the first one we're going to do is Theo. Now, you look back at Theo in 2004, it's crazy how young he was, right? 30 years old at the time. He just came off of a 95-win season in his first go-round as a GM. That would have been a 29-year-old GM in 2003. You know how that ended. Aaron Boone hitting the home run. And then their season, Game 7 ALCS at Yankee Stadium. So Theo, it is really like a crazy offseason, a crazy course correction, where Theo tries to get Alex Rodriguez, And all that chaos that ensued. But ultimately, the guys they were looking to trade for Alex Rodriguez in a three-way deal, Manny Ramirez and Nomar Garcia-Perez, they stay. He hires a new manager, Terry Francona, after Grady Little got fired. Hired Terry Francona on December 4th. Now, this is what he did in the offseason. He gets Curt Schilling on November 28th for Casey Fossum, Brandon Lyon, Jorge De La Rosa, and Michael Goss. All right, that worked out. Actually, more than worked out. So Curt Schilling, he gets on November 28th. December 16th, he gets Mark Bellhorn. So a part of a conditional deal for basically nothing, right? December 22nd, he gets Gabe Kapler, outfielder. December 23rd, he gets Pokey Reese, who will ultimately get the final out of the ALCS in Yankee Stadium, playing second base. And then on January 7th, he signs Keith Foulke to a free agent contract, which we know how important that was to finally get a closer there after they had rotated through a bunch of guys, starting with a closer by committee in 2003. They say no more closer by committee. We'll have to save that for another day. We're getting one of the best closers in the game, and that was Keith Foulke. All right, so then Theo didn't stop there. At the trade deadline, there are 8.5 back of the Yankees, 56 and 46. He makes the deal, which changed everything. A deal which now would have been almost perceived as nutty because of the names involved. He trades Nomar Garcia-Para and Matt Merton to the Cubs. And he gets back Orlando Cabrera and Doug Minkiewicz. And basically, like, those guys were in star. Nomar was still perceived as a star, right? And Matt Merton was actually a good prospect at the time. But they needed to get better defensively. That was it. Be all, end all. They had to get better defensively at first base, at shortstop. That's what they did with Cabrera and Minkiewicz. Also, at the deadline, gets Dave Roberts. Now, you remember Dave Roberts, what he did. He stole the base of all bases, kept the season alive, scored on Bill Miller's hit. Really was an iconic moment. We all know what Dave Roberts did. And now he's not going to be a manager of the Dodgers. He's not going to be able to be there for the event. But he was also a trade deadline acquisition. It's really incredible what a job that Theo Epstein did. Obviously, he went on to big things. And now He's a senior advisor back with the Red Sox. So in this conversation, he talks a little bit about that role. He talks, looks, reflects, and you can tell he gets a little bit emotional even thinking about what that team meant to him. So, all right, we're going to start off. Here's Theo.
Be around these guys. It's been great. Instant good vibes. You know, it's been so long since we've seen some of these guys. But the camaraderie came back right away. And, you know, my appreciation and admiration and affection for these guys just grows over the years. I think about what we've accomplished and how much work and they put into it and the odds they overcame and what is the impact it's had on my life. And then you extend that times millions for, you know, everyone in Red Sox Nation. So it's been wonderful to be together again.
What made this group so special?
I don't know. I think it was their belief in each other. It, you know, the Red Sox for years had sort of suffered from that fishbowl where, like, you know, it was just tough in the clubhouse and the relationship with the media wasn't great, and the sort of expectation that things would go wrong kind of permeated in from the outside. And so from the beginning, bouncing off of the 03 season, which is a big building block to what happened in 04, these guys kind of turned their attention internally to each other, developed real relationships, real bonds that allowed them to show up for each other when it mattered most.
Certainly today's great, tomorrow's going to be great, but the thoughts of Tim and Stacy Wakefield, Larry Lucchino, kind of what's that like to come back here?
Yeah, it's a very difficult, heavy time, you know, for everyone with the Red Sox because of those tragic events and those losses, people who helped define what it means to be a Red Sox on the field and off the field. So our thoughts are with the Wakefields and with Larry's family, and hopefully we can all be in together and focusing our thoughts and good wishes on them. We'll help everyone get through it. But the Wakefields and Larry, those legacies will never be forgotten. Big part of what the Red Sox mean going forward.
I
think, you know, the informal moments, you know, get the late night suite, and when the good stories come out, you know, the unfiltered stories, and seeing the chemistry between guys, you know, that is still in effect 20 years later, the affection the guys have for each other, the old stories, and then also just seeing the impact that winning has had on their lives. You know, you can have a great season, you can have great team chemistry, you can have great friendships, but if you don't win the whole thing, you don't get brought back together like this. And the fact that we did allows for these continued bonding moments and for people to stay important to each other for the rest of their lifetime. That's what winning does for you. So really, really looking forward to those moments when no one's looking. You can see those friendships that are still lasting. New gig is great. It's been fun. Really comfortable, familiar, kind of picking up right where I left off. The close relationships I have with Sam and John, Tom, and Mike has allowed me to just kind of step in and be part of the dialogue again. And it's a lot bigger company than it was when I left. It was just a baseball team. They just bought Liverpool, and now it's also hockey and also racing and also golf. But we're kind of involved in a lot of interesting trends and interesting times in sport, so getting to learn a lot from those guys and offer my perspective based on my experiences the last decade or so away from them has been a lot of fun. I've always enjoyed it.
You've always welcomed challenges. Next one, next one, next one.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
kind of impact do you think you can make in this challenge?
I don't know. Hopefully, you know, I can provide some insights. I've had a different experience than those guys have by leaving and going to Chicago and then getting involved in sports-only private equity. So and then at the league office too. So hopefully I can provide, you know, a little bit of insight based on those experiences and you know, this winning's still pretty important. So hopefully I've learned a lot over the years on what not to do and a little bit on what to do, and hopefully I can, the relationships I have with like Craig Breslow and Kyle Dubas with the Penguins can help advise and mentor those guys a little bit. And, you know, it's a big company with a lot going on, but there's you know, still a lot of winning left to be done out there. Yeah, it's a good start. I think the most, you know, the 10 games, but hopefully we'll look back and say this is the first sign of a really, really strong pitching infrastructure and a shift towards becoming very strong, hopefully dominant pitching organization, which is so important these days. And, there's a lot of pitching talent here, but in baseball these days, like, you need the right coaching, development, instruction, defense, catching, preparation, strategy, technology, data behind it, and that's one of the things that Craig Breslow brings with him, and Andrew Bailey as well, and it's great to see the job Alex Cora has done, sort of, embracing that in the whole organization. It's been, from the off-season work to spring training to the first couple weeks of the season, it's been great to see that shift, and that'll serve the organization well for the long run.
20 years ago, you did what you did. Now you've been around and everything else. Now you've come back. When you look back on that, being a kid from Brookline, when you were when you got here, what kind of impact has it had on you and your life and your family?
Just sort of, it was a dream come true, and then it has a lasting impact. It's not too many days go by when someone doesn't come up to me and tell me where they were in 04 and what it meant to them and their family, and like right away they share these intimate family details and let you in. What a privilege that is to like feel connected to strangers, just because I got to be a small part of something so special that meant so much to so many people. And I don't know. I can't imagine my life without it. And I know how fortunate, now in hindsight, I know how fortunate I am. Because a lot of people get to be part of great organizations, do really good work, and they never get over the hump or don't accomplish something with so much meaning. So I don't take it for granted, but it was life-changing. It probably created a really good foundation for me to go off and have a longer career than I would have had otherwise. But it's the relationships. Many of my lifelong friends are people that were with the Red Sox in those days in 2004, and so the degree to which the championship not only was an accomplishment, but a lot of people, for me, cemented those bonds with a lot of those people. It's really transformed my life.
All right, good stuff from Theo. Now we're going to get to Manny. Manny Ramirez was an awesome hitter. He, as you're going to hear, he can be really gregarious, right? He's a fun guy to talk to. But he didn't really talk to the media until 2008. And then about 6 months later, it really took a turn for the worse. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, once again, in case you didn't hear me the first time, he was an awesome hitter. In 2004, he ended up hitting .309 with 43 homers and a 1.109 OPS, ultimately winning the World Series MVP. And as you're about to find out, he still likes to hit, and he still wants to hit. He hasn't filed his retirement papers. I just spoiled it for you. All right, here's Manny.
What's it been like so far to be back here with all the guys?
It's been great. Good memories and sad memories. The good memory is we won 2 championships. I met my wife in Boston, and we lost 10.
And what about being with the guys? What's that been like?
It's awesome. You know, it brings so many good memories. 2 championships, a lot of good and a lot of bad, but everything came out good.
You get a chance to see Tito Francona. Have you seen him much over the years?
I saw Tito when I was in Cleveland, and I told him, man, I just want to thank you, for all the things that you did, because you was the best manager ever.
Why?
Because he always was there for us, Every time when we didn't behave the way we were supposed to behave, he always got our back.
You didn't behave the way you were supposed to behave?
Sometimes, not everybody could behave perfectly, but you know how it is.
What's it going to be like to walk out there again 20 years from now when you won the 04 title with those fans cheering you on?
Actually, I want to play again because I need 400 hits for 3,000. I think they need my bat. It's going to be awesome, coming back home, seeing the fans, and I want to come out of left field.
Why not?
Why not?
Manny, looking back on that run in 04, especially what happened in 03, really leading up to it, relief, joy, what were the emotions coming off the field when you finally got
it? It was a lot of peace, especially for the city of Boston. They were waiting like 100 years for that championship. And for us to win it the way we did it, it means everything, not only for us, but for the city.
Did you know how big it was in the moment, or has it become maybe even bigger years later, what you guys had accomplished?
To be honest, we knew how big it was when we won it. because we were so focused in passing and beating the Yankees and bring the championship back home.
What does it take to be a winner in Boston?
Not only in Boston, everywhere you play, you always want to win. You always want to win the best. But when you win in Boston, where you have the best fan ever, and they waiting for 100 years for a championship, and you make that happen, it's unbelievable.
¿Has hablado con los jugadores hoy sobre qué necesitan ganar aquí en Boston?
Bueno, sí, siempre hablo con los muchachos. Veo que el equipo tiene mucho talento. Tienen un buen manager, tienen a Alex Cora y deben seguir trabajando fuerte y siguiendo perseverando, jugando el deporte día por día, porque van a venir días buenos y días malos, pero siempre manteniendo la cabeza en alto.
And how much do you appreciate David Ortiz? You guys were one of the best dynamic duos, 3-4 hitters in the game. How much do you look back on it now? Do you appreciate what he did?
To be honest, for me, David is the second best left-handed hitter that played the game. You know, first is Barry and then David. David is unbelievable in the clutch. He could hit for power, average. He could bring some RBIs. And for me, it was a privilege to be with him. Not only as a player, he was good to me as a person.
Who's the best hitter right now playing the game?
Oh, for me, I like Trout. So, for me, I love Mike Trout. I think he's the best right now, but, you know, Tiny, he could hit and he could pitch. So, he's in another world, you know.
And if you guys had to get in the batter's box in the batting cages right now, 0-14, who'd be the best hitter right now?
I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? We got so many good players, so many good hitters out there that anybody could be good.
Hey, man, did you ever officially retire?
I told you, I'm not trying to retire. I need 400 hits for 3,000. I need to come back.
Well, that's what I asked. All we see is videos of you in the batting cage.
I love to hit with my kids.
Finally, friend of the program, friend of Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, was just on the podcast last month with Courtney Finnegan, Terry Francona. Francona, you remember, his first managerial stint with the Phillies did not go well. This time, right guy, the right time. He ended up winning 98 games in the regular season in 2004. But really, it was coming back from that 3-0 deficit in ALCS that defined everything, you know, defined the magic and went on to win the World Series, no problem. But you have to understand, like, this was right guy, right time, and Terry Francona, absolutely Hall of Fame manager, and he looks great, he sounds great, so happy for him. We heard how great he sounded on the podcast, like I said, with Courtney earlier, and he also this time around, too. It was a good catching up with Tito. All right, remember, everybody, rate, review, subscribe. Now we have our YouTube channel back up and kicking. Yes, we don't do anything halfway, so you're going to want to subscribe because producer Evan, he's going all in on this baby YouTube channel. There's a lot of good things happening with Baseballs and Boring. We want you to be part of it. All right, here's Tito.
How about if I look less bad than normal? How's that?
How's retirement?
You know what? It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I'm kind of new at it, but I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I'm still learning. But I'm not afraid of, like, what I don't know. You know, we'll see what I miss or what I don't miss and go from there.
What's it like to be here with this group, the O4 group?
I haven't seen them yet. I'm excited. Pretty special time in all our lives. And, you know, then the somber part of it is, you know, thinking of Stacy and Wake, and we'll certainly spend time, as we should, toasting them. But it'll be special to see everybody.
You know, I know you were occupied with another sport on opening day, but did it feel at all to you to not be in the dugout and in uniform?
No, you know what? It really didn't. And I'm not lessening how much I love the game. Nobody loves it more than I do still. But I thought it through pretty thoroughly. I don't know, 44, 45 years, man, that's a long time. All the things I kind of craved, all of a sudden were getting hard. So, no, I think I left at a good time where I still can feel good about it, and hopefully I didn't overstay.
When you look back on the 04 championship, it was your first year here. Did you grasp what you guys were doing at the time?
The biggest takeaway I think I still have is thank God Davey was safe. Or that first year might have been my last year. I mean, so many things probably kind of fitting the way it ended. I mean, all the years when it looked like they were going to win and it, for whatever reason, didn't happen. Then when it looked like we were going to get embarrassed, we end up winning.
Was there a turning point during the season? A lot of people point to the Tech A-Rod thing.
You know what? I'm not sure about that, though. We weren't playing very good then. I think you're always looking for something to propel you. I think probably the biggest thing was the trade deadline. We got so much better defensively. And it didn't kick in right away, but when it did, when we kind of got it going, we got rolling pretty good.
20 years of reflection and being back, how influential that moment was.
How what?
How influential that moment was in 2004. In any way, did it kind of feel bigger than it did in the moment?
You know, in the moment, you're just trying to survive. You know what I mean? Like, you got a million things, not anything like that. Just, how's he going to be safe? How are we going to score a run? You get so involved in that, you don't think about much else.
A lot of the players say the parade was what kind of sunk in, just the amount of people, and now I can die in peace, and you know, people putting jerseys on their parents' grave sites, things like that.
And I've gotten some letters that are really touching. I know when we made that left on Boylston, it hit you pretty good. And then I remember, this, obviously I'm kidding, but when we got into the duck boats, I was so cold by then and wet. Jack McCormick was next to me, and I said, Jack, I wish we'd lost.
Tito, there's a difference in Boston when a winning Red Sox club is in town. You've seen both winning and losing Red Sox clubs. What is that difference you feel?
I think the least amount of games we lost was 86 games. So I wouldn't call that losing. So I'm not sure I really know.
Championship team? Difference in a championship team?
Well, that's what you're here for. It's no different here than any others. I mean, there's more enthusiasm, more attention here, but any place you are, Cleveland, Philadelphia, you want to win. That's what you're there for.
What will tomorrow be like for you? Is there somebody in particular you can't wait to see, or will you take a moment yourself, or will it be something at Wakefield?
The Wake thing is probably the thing that is front and center in all our minds right now, as it should be. It's still going to be wonderful to see people that, you know, are so influential and important in your life, and you don't see them very much. I mean, like Brad and Rhonda Mills are going to be here. You know, that's like my brother. You know, so I get to spend some time with people like that, see Tech, you know, see guys that I haven't seen for a long time.
What kind of impact did Larry Lucchino have on that team in his time with you, in your time here?
You know, Larry was probably more influential on the things off the field. You know, the things that he did in Baltimore and San Diego, building stadiums and things like that. He wasn't really on the day-to-day baseball stuff, but that's another, just a, you know, for good reason, we will, you know, honor him tomorrow too, which is really, it's meaningful, as it should be. Most best of you with a couple, with one person excluded.
Sean?
No, that wasn't me yet. No, I don't, you know what, I mean, we tease a lot. I don't think I ever really had an issue with media. You guys are doing your job, and I think, I hope I respected that. And some days are a little longer than others, but that's okay.
If you could go back 20 years, maybe say when you're down 3 games in the season, tell yourself something. What would you say to yourself or to the team?
I'm not good at going back. I can barely remember last week. But, I think the best thing we do, we stay in the moment. Don't go back. You can't. Just, man, try to do the best you can right there in the moment. That's all we ought to ever do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.